1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Democratic National Convention getting underway in Chicago today. President Biden is the main scheduled speaker. Vice President Harris will accept her party's nomination later this week.
Harris set to deliver her speech on Thursday.
It's coming along. I feel good about it.
She and running mate Minnesota Governor Tim Walz stopped in Pittsburgh on a bus tour en route to the DNC in Chicago. The city expecting 50,000 visitors, including several thousand protesters.
ABC's Christiane Cordero in Chicago. Negotiations on a Gaza ceasefire set to resume in Cairo. Secretary of State huddled with Anthony Blinken, huddled with Israeli President Herzog, saying it's time for the parties to get to yes and stop looking for excuses to say no. Reports from Russian military bloggers say Ukraine's military blew up a third and final key bridge in the Kursk region of Russia it invaded almost 2 weeks ago. An undetermined number of Russian soldiers are apparently now cut off from resupply. This is ABC News. Ongoing work to identify black victims of the Tulsa race massacre of 1921 found more victims in a local cemetery. Carrie Stackelbeck is the Oklahoma State archaeologist.
We have three additional confirmed gunshot victims. Two of those gunshot victims display evidence of munitions from two different weapons.
The bodies inside wooden caskets used to bury the dead from the massacre at the time. Forensic anthropologist Phoebe Stubblefield.
It is our mission to get these people reattached to their family if possible and remove them from being unknown individuals or discarded individuals.
Tulsa Mayor G.T. Bynum.
The people that we are searching for, our fellow Tulsans, they're not just names in history. These are our neighbors who were murdered in horrible ways.
Experts believe more than 300 people were murdered, but only 26 death certificates were ever issued. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll tell you, Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Todd's in Chicago getting ready to cover the Democratic National Convention. So on our next show, tune in for coverage of the event.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy. We may become mostly cloudy for a time this afternoon with a sprinkle or two possible. Our high 75 this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 50. Tomorrow, sunshine 73. On Wednesday, it'll be sunny with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Maggie Dawn.
It's the Democratic National Convention, everybody, and I could not be more excited. It kicks off with President Joe Biden, and I'll be joined by County Executive David Crowley.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
I'll give it to you. The Packers were not all that impressive last night out in Denver. But guess what? The good news, Wisconsin weather is pretty impressive this week. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Monday. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. So glad you're spending some of your time with us. We will take good care of you. Today, we're talking about some of the technologies that agriculture is using every day, but a lot of people don't know about. It's catching the attention of the Smithsonian Museums out in Washington, D.C. Tell you that story this morning. Stephanie Hoff's going to be stepping in and reminding us that this year's Wisconsin Science Festival is focused in on agriculture. First time in 14 years of that festival happening that its overarching information is going to be about agriculture. And there's room for you farmers to be involved in that process. And Charity Seebecker sharing the story this morning on how dairy farmers' dollars are being invested to promote Wisconsin dairy. The latest annual report out from Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, she takes a deeper dive and looks at that. We'll get to that story. Up next, I share more information about corn mazes in September with the focus on the draft coming to Green Bay. Sheila Everhart, our guest, in just moments.
Learn how to benefit your farm with Compeer Financial's Navigating Tech Investments Agri-Mindset webinar on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Sign up online at compeer.com/register for this powerful webinar to benefit your farm on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Go to compeer.com/register now to get the most out of your farm's tech investments on August 21st. Compeer Financial is a full credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
As the excitement builds in Wisconsin, getting ready for draft 2025, guess what? Wisconsin farms are trying to get involved. In studio with us today, Sheila Everhart. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association. And she tells me that we've got some big excitement that's building, even in 2024, for the next big event in 2025. Tell me how this all got started, Sheila. Why did Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association identified the draft as something that they wanted to try to target?
Well, you know, Pam, for 2 years, we've been working on driving visitors to our Wisconsin farms with our Love Our Ag signs at our roadside destinations. Scan the QR code and find a family farm, an ag destination near you to visit. So all of our four corn mazes that will be announced, we're so excited to announce this today, Pam, cutting edge, our Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association members and Wisconsin Farm Bureau members. So again, it's always about collaboration and working together.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. We're highlighting four of the mazes that are working with that draft theme in key geographies as far as traffic patterns are concerned. Pretty easy access. How did those farms decide to engage, Sheila? Were there others? Are we going to expect more that might be this way? Tell me a little bit about that.
Actually, there are four, and like I mentioned, they are Farm Bureau members, Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation members, and Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association members, and they were selected based on their locale. The locale for these farms are Chilton, Wisconsin, Ripon, Wisconsin, Bondwell, Wisconsin, and the Stevens Point, Plover, Wisconsin area.
And they all are have designed, this was something they had to think about before September, obviously. They all designed something with a little bit of a football flavor to it. We've got pictures up at Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, MidwestFarmReport.com, and Midwest Farm Report on Facebook, as well as the Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association Facebook feed, too. Now, let's talk a little bit about what happened behind the scenes. You mentioned 2 years ago this conversation started. Although it may seem like a fantastic idea to us, Sheila, you had to work through an awful lot of conversations to allow this to happen on a broader scale.
Yes, and everything we do has to be pre-approved. So there, when you work with multiple organizations, you have to make sure that you are speaking in the right verbiage, that you're not stepping on anyone's toes, and we're celebrating Wisconsin.
And that is definitely a unifying factor for this. Again, Sheila Everhart in studio with us. Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association announcing that four of our Wisconsin corn mazes have adopted a draft phrase or a theme for their corn mazes, and it's all to help build excitement for the draft 2025. And you heard the four key locations, and they are going to be opening as soon as September 7th for you to enjoy. Now, the Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association as a group, Sheila, is trying to get everybody to go out and visit a corn maze, not just these four.
That's absolutely right, because Wisconsin has the best corn mazes in the Midwest, in the entire Midwest. So we want our friends from the Chicago area, Minnesota area, Minneapolis, Indiana, Ohio, come to Wisconsin and see our fabulous corn mazes. We have hundreds of them. So we are having the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association Corn Maze Challenge. Visit a Wisconsin corn maze this fall between September 19th and October 31st for a chance to win prizes. So our first one that we're going to feature is Polly's Pumpkin Patch in Chilton, Wisconsin. It's a 17-acre maze, and it says draft pick is Polly's. At Polly's Pumpkin Patch, they have other on-farm features in the field of bright sunflowers, pumpkin patch, delicious food, tractor rides, and more. This is a great way for Polly and her husband, Gary, to help celebrate our Wisconsin home team in Excellent. Green Bay, yep. the Packers.
Excellent. So that's one of four. There's another one that really caught my attention visually. That's up in the Stevens Point Plover area.
The Feltz Dairy Farm is located in Portage County, a 12-acre maze that will feature Draft 2025 Green Bay. The Feltz Maze will celebrate opening day on September 21st. What I love about going up to the Feltz Dairy Store is Jake makes the best, the absolutely best on-farm cheese curds in all of that area.
Oh, that's a challenge to be accepted for sure. Yeah, and the Feltz Dairy Farm folks are used to handling kids and families, and they've got all kinds of different entertainment there. Then closer towards the Mecca of Green Bay, Porter's Patch, just down the road in Bondwell, they're going to see a lot of traffic not only now, Sheila, but also, I'm sure, come April of 2025.
Absolutely. I just checked that, and they're a short 25 miles right out of sight of Green Bay, right to the northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I just checked that out. So they're very excited because, you know, Porter's Patch in April, they will have some of their produce available, and maybe some of their, depending on the weather, some of their berries might be available too. But Troy and his family are doing an amazing job up there in Bondwell. And, you know, then Pam, if we travel to the Ripon, Wisconsin area, we have a farm called Petals and Plows Greenhouse. They have an 18-acre corn maze that will feature Draft 2025 Green Bay. They also offer plants and trees for sale, as well as a playground equipment, a gravity box, and a lot of other things. Their maze is opening September 7th, but they're having a big fall bash and customer appreciation corn roast to be held on September 14th.
Again, Sheila Everhart in studio with us making this big announcement about the four featured corn mazes in Wisconsin that will have a little bit of a draft feel when you step in. As I said, you can always go to the Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association website. Now, we don't do this just for the fun of having people come out, Sheila. Explain for people a little bit about what, you know, this is a sliver of an economic pie coming to Wisconsin April of 2025. And we're hoping that Wisconsin agriculture continues to kind of ride on its coattails.
Absolutely. There is a huge economic impact that will be felt in Wisconsin April 24th through the 26th of 2025. It's about $94 million for our entire state. It'll be about a $20 million economic impact for the Green Bay area. And they are saying that between 57 to 69% of the visitors for draft 2025 will be driving into the Green Bay area. So we want to capture those drivers on their way to Green Bay to stop at a family farm near them to purchase maple syrup, to purchase jams and jelly, to purchase some produce and some amazing cheese curds, and enjoy Wisconsin ice cream.
Yep. And well, and of course, we can't forget some of the Ag Tourism Association members also may have a bed and breakfast, might have a farm experience, maybe going out by the cows. And to your point, we're going to have a lot of folks that have never come in close contact with agriculture of any type. So the educational possibilities are tremendous.
Yes, they are. And, you know, we are so blessed in Wisconsin to have so many family farms that are willing to help teach where their food, where our consumers' food comes from, and invite guests onto their farms. So during this corn maze challenge, visit a Wisconsin corn maze, take your picture of the visit, post it on Facebook with the hashtag WadaMaze, and then random winners will be announced weekly. So get involved. Help us embrace this economic engine that will be not only 2025 draft, but the economic engine that is Wisconsin agricultural tourism and what it does to support our family farms.
Probably just the first of many stories we'll be able to share with you about what the Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association is doing to capture the attention of all those visitors coming into Wisconsin April of 2025. Capitalize on it right now, though, folks. You can find out more by going to their website, WIAgTourism.com, WIAgTourism.com, or again, follow them on social media and see all the pictures, activities, and add your information as well, WATA, Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association. Sheila Everhart in studio with us, excited to announce the lead up to draft 2025 and how Wisconsin agriculture is helping tell the story. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah!
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
This guy, real nice text for our boy Mike Pritzel. He goes, good morning, Johnny and the Mayor. Gotta love the Civic Media app as I'm driving through Sturgis, South Dakota at this very moment on my way to Jackson Hole, Wyoming for a little climbing school over the next 2 weeks. Love the ability to listen to you fellas while I'm out west. Have a great week.
That's nice. Awesome.
That's fantastic.
And that app is so easy to,
yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us for a look at the weather for the week ahead. And Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press Gazette will be in studio. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. The talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Me that he picked up about 3/10 of an inch of rain. This morning, hearing from David in Burlington, only about 1/10 of an inch of rain. What kind of rain reports have you heard?
Well, I had my friend John over here near Armstrong. He said 1.25 inches over the weekend, and that totals up for 2 inches since Thursday. Now, he and I are about 6 miles apart. I've had 9/10 over that entire time.
Yeah, and I was up at the house in Green Bay, and the rain gauge was literally overflowing, but that's been a couple days worth. Came down pretty hard over the weekend. Speaking of the house up there, I want to remind people, sure would love to have you join us in Green Bay for a Packer watch party. It's hosted in part by the Wisconsin FFA Foundation and me at my beloved Pambo, which is our location up in Green Bay. If you want, they've got limited tickets available. Friday, September 6th starts at 5 p.m. We've got a musical duo that's going to be performing. It's all the food and the drink and obviously camaraderie, and we'll watch the game together. You can go to WIFFAFoundation.org, another one of those outdoor events where we're running the risk of rain. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day today, those two.
Today is beautiful, Pam. Getting this week underway sounds really nice. Believe it or not, Tuesday night, we'll talk about it Wednesday morning, central and eastern Wisconsin may see nighttime lows drop into the 40s.
Ooh.
Or, you know, maybe 48.
Ah.
But we'll drop below 50. It looks like that's the first time we'll talk about that. But before that happens, really very fine conditions are in store. High pressure is settling in. A very weak cool front drops through here. May mean a slight chance of a sprinkle very late today or tonight. And then we'll be dry on toward the end of the week. Cool a bit as we head toward Tuesday and Wednesday, warming after that. I'll have the forecast right after this.
Learn how to benefit your farm with Compeer Financial's Navigating Tech Investments Agri-Mindset webinar on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Sign up online at compeer.com/register for this powerful webinar to benefit your farm on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Go to compeer.com/register now to get the most out of your farm's tech investments on August 21st. Compeer Financial is a full credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast. Like I said, looks beautiful today. A little worried about those overnight lows later this week.
Well, a little cool Tuesday night. Nothing drastic, though. There may be a little patchy fog here and there this morning, but I expect over the daytime we'll see some sun. The clouds develop, though, and there's even a very slight rain chance late afternoon in the east in the upper 70s again today with the north winds 5 to 10. That slight shower chance this evening, and then mostly cloudy, even clearing a bit late, down in the mid-50s with the northeast breeze. Mostly sunny Tuesday, low to mid-70s with the northeast breeze 5 to 10. That cooler Tuesday night. Wednesday, back to sunshine, probably mid-70s returning as winds become southeast. Upper 70s pushing toward 80 by the weekend, Pam. Summer will return.
All right, good deal. We're happy to hear about that. I just got a text from one of my travelers. We're headed for Alaska later this week, and he said these temperatures are getting us ready for that. I'd say for sure it'll be fresh when we get to Alaska. Hopefully not that fresh when we get back.
Yeah, hopefully it stays back to normal.
Yeah. Exactly. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right. See ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. You can find out more. Visit Compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Warm weather, humidity, and thunderstorms in Wisconsin bring mosquitoes that bite and annoy us throughout the spring and summer months.
They're there. They're always there. And then when we have high rainfall years, they're going to be more prevalent.
In fact, the first confirmed case of the West Nile virus has bitten Wisconsin. It was found in a blood donor from Washington County and also in a dead bird in Chippewa County. The West Nile virus is spread to humans, birds, and other animals through the bite of these infected mosquitoes.
Eliminate any water sources. Dump those flower pots out. Don't let dog or kitty pools sit. Fill them when you're going to use them and then dump them out. Clean the gutters. Reduce those sources is definitely going to help. You want to still be able to enjoy your yard.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only glass.
It's only
glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch. So.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Democratic National Convention getting underway in Chicago today. President Biden is the main scheduled speaker. Vice President Harris will accept her party's nomination later this week.
Harris set to deliver her speech on Thursday.
It's coming along. I feel good about it.
She and running mate Minnesota Governor Tim Walz stopped in Pittsburgh on a bus tour en route to the DNC in Chicago. The city expecting 50,000 visitors, including several thousand protesters.
ABC's Christiane Cordero in Chicago. Negotiations on a Gaza ceasefire set to resume in Cairo. Secretary of State huddled with Antony Blinken, huddled with Israeli President Herzog, saying it's time for the parties to get to yes and stop looking for excuses to say no. Reports from Russian military bloggers say Ukraine's military blew up a third and final key bridge in the Kursk region of Russia it invaded almost 2 weeks ago. An undetermined number of Russian soldiers are apparently now cut off from resupply. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The economy is doing well, but anecdotal evidence at Wisconsin food pantries suggests people are still struggling. Savannah Tomei Olson reports on one food pantry where traffic has doubled in the past year.
The Oregon Area Food Pantry has already served almost 550 people this month, and we're only halfway through August. The price of food is up, the cost of rent is up, and childcare is astronomical. The executive director says most people who rely on the pantry work, some of them two and three jobs, but with rising costs of living, it's just not enough. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Some county fairs in Wisconsin are banning lactating dairy cows this summer out of concern over bird flu spreading to dairy cows. Bird flu has not been found in any Wisconsin dairy herds, but it is affecting cows in states like Minnesota, Iowa, and Michigan. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Packers lose to the Broncos. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Broncos beating the Packers 27-2 last night. Denver played many of their starters the first half. The only points for Green Bay came when Packers defensive end Zach Morton sacked Denver's third-string quarterback Zach Wilson in the end zone. Matt LaFleur.
I thought our defense competed much harder in the second half, and we just didn't have as many busts. There were still a couple out there, and we had some situations where we had their offense in third and long and gave up big completions, so that's an area that we got to get better at.
So the Packers have the day off before returning to the practice field tomorrow. Baseball, the Brewers with a 2-0 shutout to complete a 3-game sweep of the Guardians at AmFam Field. Milwaukee now 72-52 for the season, 20 games above 500. Even though Christian Yelich is now out for the season after having back surgery, manager Pat Murphy.
Because of guys like Yelly, they've built a culture in there that says, okay, let's win tonight somehow, whatever we got to do.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he's known on TikTok as Mr. Global. Matt Randolph, an oil and gas expert, joins us to talk about the myths of prices. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy. We may become mostly cloudy for a time this afternoon with a sprinkle or two possible. Our high 75 this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 50. Tomorrow, sunshine 73. On Wednesday, it'll be sunny with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former Member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the last report of our series on protections against overturning the presidential election, we consider what happens if the state official authorized to certify your state's election results refuses to do so. It's not as far-fetched as you think. Ohio's hyper-partisan Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, made no attempt to hide recent partisan attempts to change the rules for citizen ballot initiatives, try to stop initiatives his party didn't like, and aggressively purge black and brown voter registrations. Pro-democracy organization PublicWise is also tracking statewide officials considered election threats, including the election board chair and vice chair in Wisconsin, the Secretary of State in Florida, and the Lieutenant Governor of Georgia, among seven battleground states. Democracy Docket disturbingly pointed out that in states including Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, and Nevada, candidates elected November 5th could be sworn in before the federal December 11th certification deadline, meaning an incoming governor or Secretary of State election denier could be the executive authorized to certify. Most states have penalties for willful obstruction of election proceedings. Failing that, the U.S. Justice Department could enforce the new Electoral Count Reform Act, Voting Rights Act, or civil rights laws. Those may not keep rogue officials from trying. We've linked to more analysis at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Even Scott Walker and other Republicans are going apoplectic because Trump keeps melting down into these personal attacks. He's just off the rails, Trigby.
You know, Scott may not be the brightest man, but he knows what politics is. Donald Trump is never going to change. Scott, come on the show. We'll talk about it. Todd and I will be nice to you, and I won't make Badger Boy State jokes.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
You know, we talk about agriculture every day here on the show. It's our language. It's how we grew up. It's what we're really comfortable with. But we understand a lot of people in Wisconsin, across the countryside, really don't have a clue what agriculture today is all about. Stephanie Hoff is joining us this morning. She's going to tell us about this year's Wisconsin Science Festival. Comes up in October, and for the first time in 14 years, its overarching theme is about agriculture. Why did they pick it this year? We're going to find out a little bit more about that. Charity Seebecker is just around the corner. New annual report out from Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin to give a complete accounting to the hardworking dairy farm families in our state on how their checkoff dollars are being invested. Details also coming your way. I'm Pam Yonke. So glad you're along with us. It is the 19th day of August. Let's see, on this day in 1988, UW-Madison gets a big announcement. The National Science Foundation said that UW-Madison would receive up to $12 million to establish the Engineering Research Center for Plasma-Aided Manufacturing. That happened on this day back in 1988. Let's see, on this day in 1960, Sputnik 5 was launched into space by the Soviets. It carried two dogs, Streka and Belka. They became the first living things to survive in space. Sputnik 5 launched on this day in 1960. And happy birthday today to former President Bill Clinton, 78 years young. And now you know. As promised, we want our hardworking dairy farm families out there to know how their checkoff dollars are being invested. Charity Seebecker has got an update on the latest annual report from Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin.
Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is dedicated to ensuring that dairy producers across the state are well-informed and engaged. Through a range of innovative communication strategies and outreach programs, DFW aims to keep farmers updated on the impact of their contributions and the organization's ongoing initiatives. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Liza Schlintz, Farmer Communications Manager for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, joins us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff to highlight their communication and outreach efforts.
Keeping our farmers informed is something that we're super passionate about. We want to make sure that we're not spending tons of checkoff dollars reaching out to farmers, because that's not what our intention is. However, we certainly want our farmers to know what their dollars are going to. So every year in the fall, we submit an annual report that goes through DATCAP and then is sent out to all of our dairy farmers. You're going to get a postcard in the mail. It's got a QR code on it. And at any time, you can go to wisconsindairy.org, where that annual report lives all year long. We also go to several industry events and trade shows, such as World Dairy Expo, Farm Technology Days, WPS Farm Shows, the list goes on and on. We also have the opportunity to go to some of our fantastic district shows or breed association meetings. And we also have an email newsletter that comes out once a month, and you can also sign up for that at wisconsindairy.org.
Now, Liza, I often hear farmers asking, but why don't you spend more time advertising in Wisconsin to consumers so the farmers can see where their money's actually going?
In the past, that might have been something that we did more of. However, we recognize that Wisconsin consumers are smart, and they already know how fantastic our Wisconsin dairy products are. So we looked at the majority of Wisconsin's milk is turned into cheese, and 90% of that cheese leaves our state. So we want to focus on the 90% target consumer, and that's outside of the state borders of Wisconsin. And at this point, we've had major success. At this point, there is now 99% of grocery stores nationwide that are carrying Wisconsin cheese. So we're focusing on those consumers that are outside of our Wisconsin borders who maybe don't know already how fantastic Wisconsin cheese is.
So then what resources are farmers interested when you do have that opportunity to get to talk to them?
So our Wisconsin consumers certainly still want to hear from our Wisconsin dairy farmers. And they don't want to hear what happens on a modern dairy farm from somebody who sits behind a desk all day. So we have spokesperson resource trainings to really figure out what do consumers want to know and what are the best methods in order to communicate that information to them. We also have resources for farmers when they have farm tours to maybe give that little extra something to take home, something to remind them to, hey, maybe pick up some milk on the way home from work. And DFW also has some pretty amazing current marketing initiatives that we're working on. We really, again, focus in on cheese because that 90% of milk is made into cheese. So if you are interested in learning more about what we're doing on the cheese front, you can then connect on our website and on our social platforms and find out why Wisconsin dreams in cheese.
I know I see your guys' promotional efforts across the state quite a bit, and you've touched on your efforts a little already, but what are some ways that Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is really promoting dairy in Wisconsin?
We have what we call the champions of dairy, and these are local promotional support groups. These are groups that are doing things like setting up dairy breakfast, or they are going into communities and schools and talking about the nutritional benefits that dairy has. And we support those champions of dairy groups via some promotional items and giving them the tools so that they can do that quickly and effectively. We also work really hard on generating what we call earned media content. So we want to create buzz around Wisconsin cheese. So we work to talk about why cheese is something that should be on everyone's table. And we push that message out to individuals who would promote that for free versus spending money to try and push that advertising. We also promote the sustainability success stories that our Wisconsin dairy farmers have. We know that there are two industries in the world that can save this planet from the effects of climate change. One of them is farming. And so we have so many stories to tell as to how sustainable our dairy farmers are and how hard they are working to make sure that they leave their farm better than the way that they found it. We also work with student athletes within the state. We recently had the Wisconsin Badgers out on a local dairy farm. We also get to partner with Allison Dairyland. We go to State Fair. We have programs to educate littles about how to raise a calf on Adopt a Cow. We have Cheese Fair on the Square. The list goes on and on. Ultimately, what it boils down to is DFW is promoting dairy in Wisconsin via the staff that is working hard for the Wisconsin dairy producer in so many different ways to target so many different consumers.
And Liza, where can listeners connect with your Wisconsin communications team in the near future? I'm sure, just like us, you've got a pretty busy schedule ahead for you.
Oh, goodness. I put together my family calendar last night, and my husband says, are you going to stay home ever? And the response to that is no. I really like connecting with my farmers. Coming up, we have World Dairy Expo. That's going on October 1st through the 4th. And then we have Dairy Strong coming up, Professional Dairy Producers Business Conference, WPS Farm Show. Those things come up awful quick. So we're definitely going into our trade show season. And you can also connect with Wisconsin Communications team anytime at wisconsindairy.org.
Liza Schlintz, Farmer Communication Manager for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, along with us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff. For more information about Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, visit wisconsindairy.org. For the Midwest Farm Report, and Charity Seebecker.
The Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, it's been around for a while. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't think about it until the end of the year. Now is a good time for not only farmers, but also their seed suppliers, their agronomists, their crop consultants to think about it as well. Sean, a lot of people at first will be, well, it's just for bragging rights or maybe the money that is part of the reward. But it, from your perspective, it's about a whole lot more than that, right?
Yeah, Pam, what I really learned from the yield contest is that farmers are always trying innovative new technologies out there in the field. And what they can do then is basically see how they work in these smaller field situations, which is the yield contest. And that information then comes back to me and is relayed to farmers through our different work groups and through them, you know, just having those conversations at Corn Soy Expo. And what's really cool about that is we can see the diversity of ways that farmers can get to these high yields.
More details available now at wisoybean.org or coolbeans.info.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
Farmers, grain elevators, commodity brokers, everybody's going to be watching the 32nd annual Pro Farmers Crop Tour. It starts today. Chip Flory is leading the western leg of that farm tour and explains what they're going to be doing.
We've got 12 routes that we've been running on the eastern leg of the tour, 10 routes that we've been running on the western leg of the tour. Altogether, we'll have about 100 scouts out there on the road, and we'll be pulling about 1,700 corn samples. We'll pull the same number or close to it of soybean samples.
Chip Flory, he is leading the western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour that will wrap up on Friday in Rochester, Minnesota. They figure this tour represents 70 to 80% of the nation's corn and soybean acres. Markets in overnight electronic trade right now. December corn's up 2 at 394. The beans are up 6 at 963. The wheat for September, that's down a nickel right now, 524. Got to keep an eye on the cheese market. Barrel cheese Friday was up a half, 225 and a half. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at 210. Remember, the market's telling us we need to maintain that $2 mark if we want to continue a little bit of a bullish streak. The butter was bullish on Friday, up 3.5 to 318 a pound. Class 3 milk for September that goes into cheese, up a dime right now, 2201 a hundredweight. October up 6, currently at 2210 a hundredweight. Up next, 14 years, and finally the Wisconsin Science Festival, paying attention to agriculture. Stephanie Hoff's bringing us the details just around the corner.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to share two insights from the National Consumer Law Center on medical debt. First, never pay medical debt with borrowed money or credit. According to the NCLC, unlike credit card debt, medical debt will often carry low or no interest payments or late charges. So don't take out a second mortgage to pay it off, and never put medical debt on your credit card. Second, treat medical debt as a lower priority debt to be paid only after you pay your mortgage, your car loan, or things with higher interest. Now, the NCLC isn't saying you never have to pay your debt off or that there aren't consequences to not paying it. Just be smart about what you pay when, and don't use something with a higher interest rate to pay something with a lower interest rate, like medical debt. For more Everyday Money tips, text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Matt Nair on air.
I trust Tim Walz to blank.
One from Luke Mathers that says, Tim Walz seems like the neighbor who knew that you were going to be out of town that weekend, so he mowed your lawn while you were gone so you didn't have to do it when you got back.
Keith from Middleton.
I was just going to say, I trust Tim Walz to watch my 3 and 5-year-old grandchildren.
I trust Tim Walz to escort me home to get away from the creep at the bar.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hey, it's producer Conrad. Pete will be back from vacation Monday with guests Rob Thomas and Bill Leff. The Democratic National Convention is next week, so join the Nightlight stream from 7 to 9 p.m. on Facebook, YouTube, or X.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Was agriculture, right? But this year, for the first time in 14 years, it's getting its attention. And Stephanie joins us now with the details.
Samantha Mulrooney joins us. She's the Wisconsin Science Festival director. Samantha, this is the first time in 14 years of the festival that agriculture has been the overarching theme. How did you decide to zero in on this industry?
I mean, it is such a impactful part of our state's economy and our state's story. So it seemed like a natural fit for this year. And agriculture has been involved in a lot of our Science Festival events over the years, but this is the first time we're featuring really as a way to honor all of the great things that are happening in our state and all of the growers and all of the technology that is involved in that. A lot of times people don't really understand how the food gets to the grocery store, right? And being able to take a little bit of effort during the festival this year to highlight that and promote that is what we're trying to do.
And again, it's really a statewide effort because you guys are now in more than 50 counties, but it didn't start that way, right? Tell us a little history on the Wisconsin Science Festival and how much it's grown over the years.
Yeah, for sure. So our Science Festival started back in 2011, primarily in Madison and Dane County areas. And right around the third or fourth year of the festival, it really started to blossom into what it is now. So we had events at about 150 different venues throughout the state last year, and about 500 different event occurrences, and that is children's museums, nature centers, school districts, libraries are a big part of our festival, all hosting events during the week of our festival. And that number has just continued to grow as the festival kind of expands its footprint. And the feature every year is a large part of that. So we help bring in more partners and stakeholders throughout the state to get involved in our festival based on the feature. And agriculture is no different.
And it literally draws thousands of people across the state. Give me a sense of the reach of this event.
Sure. Yeah. So in Madison, our Science Festival team helps coordinate a few key events, hands-on expo style events, Science on the Square, which is the big one downtown Madison. We had over 12,000 people come to that event last year on a rainy October evening. But throughout the state, because of all of our statewide event hosts, we've reached over 40,000 people during the week of our festival. And again, those are very different types of events that are happening all throughout the state. It's pub talks at breweries. It's stargazing parties. It's, birding opportunities at nature centers. So something for everybody during the week of our festival.
Everybody, because if you were listening, you heard beer, you heard downtown Madison in the evening hour. So this isn't just an event geared towards children. This is for everyone.
Correct. Yeah, that is, I mean, science is for everyone. You're never too old to learn and you're never too young to teach, right? So I think this is just a way to embrace that and to get everybody in Wisconsin excited about STEAM. So everything, science, technology, art, you name it, during the festival.
And now agriculture.
And now agriculture for sure. Yeah, that's a big part of it. I think you summarized it perfectly. That's involved in all of what we do.
Sam, I also wanted to ask you what you foresee some of these agricultural events to look like. Maybe personally, you're looking to learn something about agriculture during Wisconsin Science Festival in October, or, you know, what you hope others will learn.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is really so much to learn. And I mean, that's part of why we chose the agriculture feature, is it is so broad and there are so many different angles and ways to think about agriculture in our state. So I think I'm personally fascinated to learn as much as I can about the process of the technology and the newer, more modern approach to agriculture, and the different stories and the different perspectives that are involved in agriculture in our state.
And if this is speaking to you, if you are thinking, hey, I have a story to tell about science on my farm or within my organization, there's a place to go to get involved.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our website is a great resource. Our contact information is on there. So we are always looking for more statewide event hosts to participate and to welcome the community or school groups into their world of either agriculture or just science and technology in general. So it doesn't necessarily have to involve agriculture, although it is pretty pervasive. So we know there's a good chance that it might. But yeah, our website is a good place to help either learn more about the festival or connect to us to share event and program details.
Samantha Mulrooney along with us, director of the Wisconsin Science Festival. This is a statewide celebration of the sciences, and this year the showcase is on Wisconsin agriculture. The festival is October 14th through the 20th. If you'd like to showcase the science that you do on your farm or agribusiness, reach out to Samantha Mulrooney through wiscifest.org. Again, preferably before August 1st. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions, get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
U.S. farmers may be growing the third largest corn crop ever. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Last week, the U.S. Department of Agriculture suggested that conditions are ripe for a huge corn crop this year. Brad Rippey is a USDA meteorologist.
You have to go outside the heart of the Midwest to find any real problems with this crop. We've been talking for weeks about the early heat and drought hurting the crop in the southeast. That was borne out by the crop production numbers. 65% of North Carolina's corn rated very poor to poor. It was gone a long time ago. Same thing for Texas, where it's dry. Parts of the state remain in drought. 29% very poor to poor there. Pennsylvania, they also got hurt by drought in the last several weeks. 29% very poor to poor. And Kansas, 23%.
Rippey says the soybean crop is in pretty good shape as well.
It shows the power of cool weather during the key reproductive to filling stages of development for corn and soybeans. No change in overall condition this week for both crops.
Rippey says two-thirds of the overall U.S. corn crop is rated good to excellent, and for soybeans, it's 68%. The department suggests it could be the largest soybean crop ever, and I'll have more on that tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Todd's in Chicago getting ready to cover the Democratic National Convention. So on our next show, tune in for coverage of the event.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Democratic National Convention is